time to think about, but I didn't want to move too fast. Cause I knew that when I saw you again, that I wouldn't want to let you pass. Cause my eyes have seen the glory and the coming of your smile.
Good morning, everybody. Yes, beauty is her name. Amen. What's up? Jumbo. Assalamu alaikum. Peace. Greetings. It's your international girl running this world. Yes, welcome to CRS. We are the best Caribbean radio show with 2.5 million kings and queens out there listening. So call in. That number is 661-467-2407. We're the Caribbean radio show. Yes, the knowledge station. I am your host, Queen Sunny, honey. So I'm bringing it to you live, bringing it peace from the Middle East, birth in the epicenter of it. Oh, y'all, USA don't play. So impress the empress. Come on in, my solution seeker. Share your knowledge, even if you ain't go to college. In the words of the great, great dermatologist, isn't it wonderful knowing something beautiful is happening to you right now? Beauty is her name. We are here in the land of the living, so I want to know how you're doing. Pick up the phone. Again, that number is 661-467-2407. Before we start the show, you already know the routine. We can do nothing without God, the Most High, Allah, Buddha, whoever you call him, one, the source, the creator of us all. We give thanks. Why? Because we're living and breathing to see another day. And someone else didn't get that gift. So we give thanks and start the show off always giving thanks to the creator of us all. And because I'm from the dirty, dirty South, one of our traditions in my culture is that before we begin to speak, we ask the elders, the ancestors, for permission to speak. Call upon all of our ancient ones, our greatest grandmothers, our greatest grandfathers, and who we stand on their shoulders today, to just come and shine upon us. Use this platform to speak through for the reciprocity. We are the beneficiaries of the greatest legacy that you've left for us. So we ask the elders for permission to speak. In our international shouts out today, we got to give so much love going out to Miss Jackie in New Jersey. Girlfriend, thank you for the love. Out in Kuwait, much love coming from Lashari and Shanae. Thank you for the love. In Dubai, my HBCU colleague from the alma mater, Claflin University, Mr. Travis. Thank you for the love, you and Tina in Dubai. Shouts out to my homeboy in New York City, Mr. Kevin. I see you always supporting the show. Thank you, thank you, thank you. To all of my students down at Fayetteville State University in North Carolina, Vietnam, thanks for tuning in. All the way out there in California, thank you to Trinity Oracle, always showing support and so much love. Out in Texas, now you guys got to check this sister out, Miss Chastity, the founder of Black Girl Garden. Thank you, thank you, thank you. In Doha, Qatar, out in the so-called Middle East, we got to send love and shout-outs to Miss Valencia. Always good to have you reach out and show love. Here's a special dedication for our brother down there in Saudi Arabia, working hard as a contractor. Sending love and light from Miss Melissa to you, Daryl. And yes, thank you so much, Mr. Sean, out in Nigeria. Nigeria coming through with the love. I see you. So much love going all the way down to the dirty, dirty South of South Carolina. Much love to my family members out there who are always sending love and light. And so much love coming in from Miss Wanda down there in Georgia. I see you, girl. If you need your wig blonder, Wanda in Atlanta. Yes, look her up. So next is local news. Child, what's going on? How you doing? Well, I am in the so-called Middle East. I call it Northeast Africa. I am from South Carolina, and what's going on over here? It is week 3 for Ramadan. As I look out my window, I tell you what, it's beautiful. Despite being on total lockdown, every day we are permitted 2 hours, no cars only, but you can do your exercise and walk around your neighborhood. And baby, you're looking kind of majestic and healthy when I look out the window. And of course, I'm not out there right now, socially distancing and getting my vitamin D, because I'm here with you on Freedom Friday with the Caribbean Radio Show, the Knowledge Station. If you would like to call in and give some love, again, that number is 661-467-2407. One of the privileges we have, since we're in total lockdown, I call it a privilege, is to order our groceries online. Simply go and then, you know, fill out the form, let them know what day you want to go. And that's been like the new normal since this total lockdown started. Be mindful where I live. Everything, every franchise you have back home, from McDonald's to Burger King, KFC, all of that stuff has always been over here, and it delivered to your front door. I mean, child, if you wanted Krispy Kreme, you just went online and ordered and be like, nah, I don't even want a dozen. Send me one. And they would deliver it to you. So it's been, actually, I find the bliss in all of this and everything that life brings. That's why we call it, you know, the solution seekers, the people we come together and we find, in spite of everything, something positive. In worldwide news, Taiwan is said to be a place that has actually conquered the virus. They actually are ruled by a female president. And there's been a whole lot of love going out from that country in the forms of masks and provisions worldwide to other people who are suffering. So, you know, it looks like things get popping when women are in charge. You better do your research and see all the presidents all over the world who happen to be female. And let's do a bit of research to see if Sister Girl knows something that the rest of the brothers need to tune into. Let's get down with this PPP loan. How y'all doing out there, Black business owners? Did you get the money, honey? Money going to the Black business owner? I'm checking on you. Call in and let a sister know. I would love to know. I heard through the grapevine, wonderful sister down in Alabama is just on an initiative and has been pumping out lots of people all over who have successfully gotten the loan. I hope I can get that sister to come on the show. Dr. Portia, I hope you're listening. Yes. Well, the brother Sean who called in from Nigeria, child, he told me that they actually just completed a three-day fast. You know, this is a step up, just wanting to know what people are doing around the globe on a spiritual level to be more healthier, because when we fast and detox, we can still sustain ourselves, rid ourselves of diseases. And then there's the spiritual aspect of being on one accord with everyone and the stillness thereof of just asking for healing for our entire world, not just a nation of people. So perhaps everyone else around the globe is practicing smoothies or fasting. That's what Ramadan is about over here. Even if you don't practice it, they don't eat and they don't drink from sunrise to sunset, and then they break fast with something called iftar. So in spite of things being religious, whether Islam, Christianity, we can all be on one accord in something and just decrease to increase, you know, to heal ourselves internally and the world. So it's always good to see the Nigerians out there doing their thing. How you doing? We got to give a congratulations to Lisa Green on giving birth to a healthy baby boy. Baby Ziggy has entered the world. Alhamdulillah, we give thanks. Thanks for sharing so much with the world by letting us know the prince is born and he is safe. I tell you, this sister was working in a hospital under some terrible conditions. We have to be more sensitive to know that there are people all around us who might be pregnant and still are called essential workers. Let's make sure we lift them up in love and light and send them so much healing out there. Speaking of family, I want to send some love out to my family members who are working in prisons. I got two cousins. I think of them often. One works for a juvenile delinquency center, you know, and just knowing that there are limited supplies or just the condition of the inmates who happen to be our brothers and sisters, cousins, and we just distance ourselves, but they still belong to us. Or my cousin in Rikers Island, who goes to work every day and how it is to come home. We want to lift up all of our essential workers and just know that we're sending so much healing and protection out in the world. If you are essential worker, you know, we want to send love and light. Actually, let's do a challenge and get out there and buy lunch for somebody, because that's something I decided to do for my birthday, and God bless a cheerful giver. It felt so good. So I challenge you, someone, words of wisdom, and put something in their belly, honey. Do what you can for those out there. Let's go into social media. Child, Jill Scott versus Erica Badu, and then the next thing was Trina and Kaya. The love was different, but I want to just let you ladies know it was all a performance. Whether good or bad, now is the time for unity, and I sure hope that that love continues to outreign all the drama, mama. If we could just look inside ourselves right now and get our healing going on, sisters, we can reconnect with each other and build something greater than ever existed before. So we want to send so much love out there to Kaya. Yes, honey. Mode of mouth. I see you, boo. We want to send love out there to Trina. Yes, our real estate maven. Okay, girl, we love you all, both of you. And we want to send so much love out there to Erica Badu and Jill Scott. Different flavors of love, but you're all my family members. So, yes, I still love you all. Call in, guys, if you have an opinion about today's show, because, baby, it's about to be on and popping. We got the wonderful, magnificent, world-renowned American historian himself, who's traveled over 150 countries, has been a paid orator in at least 60 of those countries, invited in by the highest of the highest to come and speak on a platform. He is none other than Dr. Ranuku Rashidi. Yes, our man, someone who looks like us, is for us, and has written books too. For so much love. He's going to be sharing you some love from the motherland herself, all of his travel adventures, as we go into a multi-series based on the African presence worldwide. Honey, I tell you, you don't want to miss this. Also, as we look into giving shouts out and love and get ready for Dr. Ranuku Rashidi, I just want to remind you of one very important thing. Are you ready? Are you ready to get bossed up? Three, this is how you get your LLC. Them crackers don't teach me, so let me learn you get your LLC. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls too, if you are ready to get your LLC, go to Google, type in LLC and your actual state's acronym. Only thing them boy want is the name of your company, the address, and the money, honey. Get it out the way. You now have it. It's free. And if you say it's too hard of a process, go to my website, SunitaShannon.com. That's www.SunitaShannon.com. And I will be happy to assist you with the process. But baby, you have it going on right now. You have all of the information and it is freely given to you. So please don't hesitate to start an entire legacy for your family. It is time. Let's get into a little music, nothing more old school. Let's start to jam it up with Garnet Silk.
Since I was one, she told my mother alone, with the responsibility in her hand. She said the heart to send us to school. She didn't want us to go like fools. And now I've got to keep thanks for the good things she has done. Oh, mama, I love you too, and I know you love me too. Oh, mama, mama, won't make you blue. I wish that every mother was as sweet as you are.
Try your best. Now it's up to you.
To mama, as we get ready to continue every day giving love to our mother, even those who transcended, we give honor and thanks for you, even to Mama Africa. As we prepare for Dr. Renuka Rashidi to come, as he prepares us for a great history lesson, a brother who looks like us, who in turn with some of the great ones that we've read their books, who actually traveled to Kemet, also known as Egypt, with the great Dr. Ben, with the great John Henry Clark, and with the great Ivan Van Sertima, and so many more. And today he continues to travel and take us along with him. Prepare yourselves after this next song by Sizzla called Mama. Get ready for the man of the hour, Dr. Renuka Rashidi.
Hey, mama. Hi, mama.
Love you, mama.
Oh, my, oh, my. Oh, mama, don't cry. Gonna keep you by the flame so high.
We smell for all the mothers in the world. Times just the way things ought to be, yeah.
Thank you, mama, for the 9 months you carried me through. All those pain and suffering. No one knows the pressure you bear, just only you. Give you all my love, oh yeah. Thank you, mama, for the 9 months you carried me through. All those pain and suffering. No one knows the pressure you bear, just only you. With my words and my suffering. Mama, I will never let you down. I'll never go away. I'll always be around. You know why you do it, such love that you found. I'm always gonna let you wear that crown. Through the roughest of times, you maintain your calm, Jah was your only end, while sheltering me from the storm. And when it's cold, you wrap me in a towel so warm. Oh, my, oh, my, I'm so glad I was born. Thank you, mama, for the 9 months you carried me through. All those pain and suffering. No one knows the pressure you bear, just only you. Give you all my love, oh yeah. Oh, thank you, mama, for the 9 months you carried me through. All those pain and suffering. No one knows the pressure you bear, just only you. This is my word. I'm gonna make you so proud. So good, so you are. You're the one who teaches me all the good from the bad. Even when the system keeps pressuring my dad, you got I.O. Thanks be unto the Most High God. Thank you, mama, for the 9 months you carried me through. All those pain and suffering. No one knows the pressure you bear, just only you. Give you all my love, oh yeah. Thank you, mama, for the 9 months you carried me through. All those pain and suffering. All my vision, aspiration, I owe it all unto you. It's my words and my offering. I'm a big man now, that's how things go. Things to do to survive, only die, know. Fiercely protecting us while watching us grow. You've been up, even when it's on the down low. Work so hard to see your go to school. Blisters on your fingers so they can't take us for food. I'm here for a purpose, I'm here to move. But I just Rastafari will see you through. Thank you, Mama, for the 9 months you carried me through. All those pain and suffering, no one knows the pressure you bear, just only you. Thank you, Mama, for the 9 months you carried me through. All those pain and suffering, no one knows the pressure you bear, just only you. Oh. Now it's my turn to make life. I'm so mature, you know I've got my kids and my wife, and I'm positively sure I'm doing fine. And still can do so much more. You're preparing for the future, my love. You deserve. Keep doing your thing while others not knowing. Go deep inside your heart, mama. You know where it was going. Can a mother lose her tender care for her child that she's been showing? Some of your stars keep glowing. Thank you, mama, for the 9 months you carried me.
Welcome, everyone. We have Dr. Rashidi on the line. Good morning. How are you? I am so blessed to actually have you on the show today. I am calling you from around the world, and you are one of the most powerful influences on the reason why I left in 2015, and I haven't been back to America ever since. That African presence all around the globe. I just want to thank you for, first of all, opening up a portal in my life and giving me an opportunity to see the world differently through your books.
Well, thank you for that. You know, I appreciate the last few years in particular. I've spent a lot of time on social media. Before Facebook, I spent a lot of time with Yahoo groups. You know, most of the time I think it's good. I like the interaction.
Hey, Mama. Hi, Mama.
Gone to high school with Dookie. I didn't know him at the time. He didn't know me. before he could really effectively apply it. So he could have been anything. He could have been a natural leader of people. But because he didn't know who he was, that brother did some terrible things. And he is a case study, an example. A lot of people really don't know in the African community. Don't know who we are. I get asked all the time, for no gold, why do I need to spend time talking about what happened yesterday and many yesterdays ago? So we have to explain in a basic manner that anybody can understand why history is important. You know, I think Marcus Garvey might have said, when you know better, you do better. A colleague of my young sister named Lynn, Ms. Browder, likes to say, the more you love your history, the more you love yourself. But the best and most simplistic and succinct explanation for why knowledge itself is important goes like this. What you do for yourself depends on what you think of yourself, and what you think of yourself depends on what you know of yourself, and what you know of yourself depends on what you have been told. So history and knowledge itself tells you who you are. It gives you a sense of direction. And unfortunately, a lot of us don't have that exposure. And if we do have it, sometimes it doesn't come at a time when we can most effectively use it. So that's a little bit of the story of Unchained Black Voices from Death Row Prison. And I still have the manuscript.
Wow, you know, you stand on the shoulders of, we all stand on the shoulders of many greats. Can you tell me, I really want to know, what was it like learning from Dr. Ben?
Sister, it looks like you're going to have me on your show a whole bunch of times here.
You're
talking about a lot of stuff. But Dr. Ben, Joseph Alfredo Antonio Benyakinen, he's been an ancestor for a few years now. His great contributions, I'd say, were three or fourfold. One, just so for people who may not know him, he made it plain. He spoke in a manner that anybody, I guess I'm in the Malcolm X world today, he spoke in a manner that anybody could relate to. He didn't just talk to African missions, but he talked to the folk, if I can say that. And then he talked about broke down the African roots of major world religions, showed that they all originated in the Nile Valley. The Nile Valley civilization originated in Central Africa and spread to the rest of the world, influenced everybody and everything. So that's number two. Number three, maybe this is the most important thing, he is the first person to begin the group tours to the Nile Valley. Everybody does it. I do it, Quasi does it. My brother Tony Brown, and so many people take groups to Egypt, groups to Kemet. Dr. Ben was the first one, and there's nothing like seeing it for yourself. You can see pictures of the pyramids and all of the great Sphinx and Karnak Temple on Facebook. You can see them on the Learning Channel, the History Channel, maybe even BC, I don't know. But it's nothing like seeing it for yourself. It's a life-changing experience, and Dr. Ben was the first person to do those tours. So I had the pleasure of being with him as his personal assistant on Egypt on four occasions. I was actually with him many times. We spoke at many conferences. I visited him even in his nursing home in the Bronx, New York, before he passed away. So I would say Dr. Ben is one of the great men, one of the great people I've had an opportunity to interact with over a long period of time.
Now, you talk about Kemet. I literally live close enough that I go there on the weekend. I remember moving over to the Middle East, and you were one of the first people I contacted within 7 days because, number one, just to have access to know that I could just spend the weekend like going from state to state in America and for the same value of gas, that experience. And also to know from Luxor all, you know, the Nile through Cairo, going to the Nubian village. It is true that a lot of times
shitty. That was kept in me growing. In my college years, to sit around, and that was the concept. Other than white boys went to Peace Corps, everybody else at the HBCU wanted to actually move forward and see tennis. So I got to thank you for that. That's been it's been amazing to know that when I go inside the museums now, they tell people, please don't even bother her because you cannot give her European regurgitated history. This sister truly knows tennis, not to call it Egypt. So I got to thank you for that personally. And another great person, Dr. John Henry Clark, please tell me you met him before.
Yeah, I met Dr. Clark, I guess around 1991, 1992. And we developed a close relationship and remained close until he died, which I think is in 1998. Dr. Clark, I think, saw something of himself in me. He always made time for me. He always made me feel special. I learned a lot from him, as not just in terms of data, but also how to behave, how to conduct myself. Dr. Clark is what we might call a race man. Dr. Dale was a race man, too. In other words, they weren't just black scholars or scholars who happened to be black. They lived in a black community. They loved black people. I mean, you've got the impression, and this is how I am, that the information is just a tool with which we use to uplift our community. So many stories about Dr. Clark, some, you know, bring tears to my eyes. He was always there for me. He's a brilliant scholar. I never heard him raise his voice in anger. I never heard him use the N-word. I never heard him use the B-word. And he would do things, not just say things, that made me say, you know, that's how I ought to be. So in many ways, he was a wonderful role model. And I think that with the loss of people like Dr. Ben and Dr. Clark, I really lost a lot. I see a lot of the scholars, the so-called scholars, YouTube scholars, who are fussing and fighting the N-word, MF is every other word, like that's impressive. That's not respectful. And especially people who are talking about my pod and Hotel. Dr. Clark, in my opinion, embodied the best of us. And to me, you know, being around him was like being with a prince or a king. And I cherish those moments.
Yes. One of the greatest people that influenced me when I was working at Benedict College, I worked for a few HBCUs. One day a parent came in, and she asked me if I had the Black Bible. I did not know she was referring to Chancellor Williams. And from that moment on, it took me to a whole new level of knowing to have our history written by us. And that also reminds me of you. Have you ever had the privilege of, this brother is also from South Carolina, like I am, who wrote the book. Have you ever was the rebirth of African civilizations. They came before Columbus.
Which is so sad we go in there because that's one of the worst ones. It's one of the few places in the world where I really haven't spent extensive time. I've been to Oman. I think I spent a night or two in Qatar. I guess it's like,
yes!
On my way to Ethiopia. But that's a region I've always been fascinated by. And that was how we struck up our relationship, if you recall, from my perspective, was because I was so fascinated by the part of the world that you live in. And I made up my mind then that I was going to go, and I still haven't been there. Not exactly where you are. So whatever you do, don't move until Renoka Rashidi gets to come and hang out with you.
Absolutely. I'll keep you
and now, the great Ivan Gladstone Van Cerva. You know, I didn't know his middle name was Gladstone until I saw his funeral obituary. I know his sad brother. He was born in the interior of the country of Guyana at the time of British colony in South America, British Guyana, in January 1935. He did field studies. He loves to talk about it in Tanzania. Spent a lot of time in Europe. He was depressed. And a fellow scholar named John Carew got Ivan, while he was living in London, a job at Rutgers and Princeton universities. And somehow, as I understand the story, you know, when you can go, you have to say, as I recall or I understand the story, if you add a little something to it, too, you know, it's one of the great things about Dr. Ben and Dr. Clark. They were great historians, but they were also great storytellers. And I didn't know if I appreciated it at the time, but now I think I can appreciate it a little bit more. Anyway, John Carew, you know, got hooked up either with these jobs, and I think in the office of one of the people at one of these universities, I assume it was Reverend, maybe it was Princeton, maybe it was the chancellor's office where he was interviewing for the job, I don't know. He saw a great volume book published in 1921-22. By a Jewish scholar at that time at Harvard University named Leo Wiener. And the book was called Africa and the Discovery of America, and Ivan's life changed dramatically. So he began to pursue that. Now, in struggling with Wiener and other scholars, they were able to identify an African presence in ancient America, but they were not prepared to deal with the status of those Africans. For example, it's been suggested that the massive African-looking Olmec heads of Mexico might be the faces of athletes or even slaves. And so even those advanced European scholars who were prepared to say there was an, in many cases, who were prepared to say that there was an African presence in ancient America were not prepared to say who these sisters and brothers are that are represented in these images. Ivan did that. And he did it primarily for the most powerful statement in a book called They Came Before Columbus, which Einstein and Toni Morrison helped get published at Random House. And that is the single, even now, most powerful statement about an African presence in America before the transatlantic slave trade. An African presence in America before Columbus. And Ivan's thesis is, he pointed particularly to the Olmec civilization. The Olmec civilization is important to us because it's the first, the parent civilization of the Americas. Before the Inca, before the Aztec, before the Mayans, they were the Olmec. They introduced all the formative things in respect to civilization that we can identify in the world today. And so Ivan took that and ran with it. Now, I met Ivan for the first time in 1981. I met John Henry Clark a little bit later than that. And I saw Dr. Ben lecture before that, but I didn't get to really spend time interacting with Dr. Ben until a few years after that. So this is a golden time for me. I was young. I was about 30 or so. And my focus was to look at Africans, particularly in Asia, Australia, the South Pacific. Nobody had really done that before to any significant extent. And so I think all of these ancestors now,
came before Columbus, the African presence made in America. And he's also the founder of the Journal of African Civilization. This was an anthology and produced about 10 books, Golden Age of the War, Great African Thinkers, Shigun Joe, several volumes of Shoved Black in Science, the African presence in early America, the African presence in early Europe. And what was the big stepping out party for me was editing a book with Dr. Lancer of the African presence in early Asia. And so that was a turning point for me. And so all of these brothers, I could write a book about and have a chapter on each of them and call it Great Men in My Life or Great Men I Have Known or something to that effect. But Ivan is right there on the top.
Videos that were left behind, like the blueprint to get through the maze of life.
But I'm glad that you brought up the mini queens because, yes, we have to pay homage. Did you ever meet Dr. Francis Creswell's mom?
I've met her numerous times. I argue with her a lot. Francis was a very stubborn, she's brilliant, but a very stubborn sister. And she would dig her heels in. And it seemed to me that no matter what I said, it would not alter her position. And I realized a long time ago, that the difference between my relationship with Park and Ivan and Dr. Penn, Tessa Williams, et cetera, was different than it was with Dr. Wilson. Not because she was a woman, but because they were historians. And Francis, I think, tended to look at things from the eyes of a psychiatrist. And so her worldview was very different in many ways. But ultimately, to say, all of us were committed to making black people, elevating the status of black people around the world. Francis was brilliant. She was extremely charismatic. She's one person that would always pass a hall. She was very, very dignified. She was very regal. You could definitely call her a queen. I met Francis, I think, in 1981 or 82. I worked at Compton College at the time organizing what we call cultural awareness programs in Southern California, right in the hood. And a colleague of mine loved him some Francis Wilson. So he invited her out. She spoke to the students, she spoke to the community back out. But then afterwards, he invited her over for dinner. And he invited me to the dinner too, just like three or four of us. We talked all night and argued all night long. For example, one disagreement that I had with Francis is Francis would talk about people of color and melanin. It's my belief, and you may have a very different view concerning where you live, that many so-called people of color are as racist towards black folk in European stuff. Francis seems to believe that if we had melanin, then we had a common bond, and we were kind of like the white world was arrayed against us. I think we need to look at that in light of what we hear about African people going through in China today, or in India today. Well, I respected her, and the last time I saw her was about, I don't know, 3 years ago, 2.5 years ago. It was a program, an annual conference that's been going on about 3 or 4 or 5 years now, called Power Talk, and they had it in Washington, D.C. And every year now, they dedicated to a distinguished elder. One year they did it for Dick Gregory. Another year they did it for the economist Claude Anderson. At this particular time, this was my first time attending the conference, they did it for Francis. And I flew directly from Paris to Washington, D.C., didn't change clothes, didn't go to my hotel, went directly to the conference and spoke. And much to my delight, she remembered me. And she didn't say, Brother Rashid. She didn't say, Dr. Rashid. She said, Brother Minoko. That made me feel so good. And even though I hadn't spent the time with her and traveled with her, like Dr. Clark and Dr. Ben, et cetera, she still remembered me, and she was very, very sweet. And she was very, very, very kind to me, very polite, and as beautiful as ever. And at the end of this particular Friday night, remember I hadn't been to my hotel, I've been sweating up a plane and all of that, she on the call with me. For everybody who was at the conference, all the speakers at any rate, to come and have a photograph, a group picture. And I was so sweaty. I said, no, I won't do it. I'll take the picture tomorrow. That was the last time I saw Francis. Now, I'll never forget that. And I'll regret that for the rest of my life. So Francis was a great, great, great asset to our community and highly respected.
know, there are not a lot of women that get support in the community. Are there any other great women that are professors or great authors on the lines of Dr. Frances Creswell living today that you could recommend we read and look into their books?
Yeah, there are several. I think we need to look at something, too, and that is, it seems to me, having lived through it and studied our history pretty extensively, ancient and not so ancient, that the late 80s and early 90s, Dr. Bibb, Dr. Clark, and Francis, and Eisen were in their heyday. Chancellor Williams was still alive. He had other great scholars like John G. Jackson. We haven't talked about another big influence on me. He had a man named Gilbert Scobie. There were many of them. That was the high point of the African-centered movement. I mean, conferences. There was money at these universities at the time to host such events. People were traveling to Egypt. A lot of times, this was novel at the time. I remember, you can fly there. Doesn't cost much. But back in that time, from New York, 5-star trip to Egypt, even a cruise if you wanted to, for like $1,300. So it wasn't just middle class black folk who were going from the United States. A regular working class folk who went. So this is a high point. But I think the enemies of African empowerment saw what we were doing too and began to put countermeasures out there. So, for example, the shift began to be from black nationalism to black studies to diversity and multiculturalism. Then you began to hear people talk more about people of color rather than black people. And since they were choosing what we were trying to do, I don't know if this is going to sound controversial or you're going to get mad or what. One of the things I see right now, and I'm going to answer your question, as I see the media, maybe commercials with black men and white women, or white women and black men, and that's almost in the media right the norm. In other words, I think that we've lost a lot. Yeah. And that's one of the reasons why we know, those of us of our generation, we know so much and we have so much respect for Dr. Ben and Dr. Burke. Since they're still around today, and if we have time, this is going to bring up another very touchy subject and people might get mad. So be it. There are people like Marin Bahani, who's written the book Yorugo. There's Dr. Patricia Newton, who's a psychiatrist in Baltimore. She's very, very similar to Francis. There's a sister out on the West Coast named Dr. Joy Hardiman. A lot of people now are listening. She's had an impact. Joy Fury, I guess it used to be Joy DeGruyere, and all of the DeGruyere, and all of them are well worth reading and following today. But I think we have to ask ourselves why there aren't more women, you know, who have the stature of a Dr. Ben and Dr. Clark. And I think the reason for that, or one of the big reasons for that, is that black men today develop a lot of the same patriarchal attitudes towards women that white men have.
Come on.
And so I think the sisters have not had the opportunity, have not had the encouragement, have not had the platform to do these kinds of things. But then a lot of us, and I'm just being real here, have spent more time trying to get in a sister's pants than to get in her mind. And so I think that is another reason that African women have not been able to have the kind of stature as historians that a lot of black men have. And we know that as black men, we are, you know, racism and white supremacy confronts us all the time. But at least we don't have to deal with patriarchy that is an impediment to what we want to do. So I think that we have to look at a lot of these things. And I think that we have to look and our community and begin to dissect it and say, what are the impacts of white supremacy on the black community? What negative things have we internalized? Because I don't want to just that we do it to ourselves that keep us from our rightful place in the world in terms of power.
That's a mouthful. You know, just 2015 when I left America, it was hard to get people out of the plantation mentality to get a passport to come and visit. Here we are, summer 2020. Everybody and they mama want a passport, want to leave America. When we look at the season and the time, I am, in fact, one for reciprocity. Years ago, Busta Rhymes made a song, "We Getting A-Rap Money." I am well aware of the influence of the diaspora through the Arabic culture, as well as what colonialism did from Europe and the Arab onto the black person. But here, right here, on this radio show, it is all about the solution. I choose to elevate, uplift, and take that white boy's money. When I was a little kid, Dr. Rashidi, my mother asked me, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" When the teacher asked what you want to be when you grow up, I said self-sustainable. When my mom asked what I wanted to major in college, I said white people. She said, "Gal, you're crazy." I said, "No, Mom, seriously. If someone can actually rape the minerals from the earth and the people, use religion to smile in your face hundreds of years later. If this is the thing, I just want to study that element of success. To come over to the Middle East, before, while I was on that plane, Dr. Rashidi, I said, "I'm not Muslim. I don't co-sign, but I am a great teacher and an even better student. I come knowing when I land on this planet, land on this country, or that all of the children will speak my name in their household. Since the children that I teach do not grow up to need jobs, they say things like, 'I'll be a trillionaire because they were born into the money.'" I set the intention out there that if no child of mine needs a job, well, the favor that you have, not the way you treated other people of color before you met me, but everything will be changed and transformed when you meet Miss Anita. And as a result, I've been here since 2015, looking at a community of black people, all the black people who got out the military, stayed in the Middle East. They're not going back to America. All of the expats who work alongside me who are African American, there are so many people from the South here that we take this and we look back. I've visited America twice since 2015, and I think I can only take it but for about 2 weeks. That's all I can do. But to be that Harriet Tubman to say, "Hey, Niagara Falls over here," not saying that the solution is away from home, but if we can just visit and see these things. Earlier, you were talking about YouTube young people. You know, it's amazing. Once you've read a book, then you can understand when someone gets on YouTube and they regurgitate someone else. But it's sad to see that we do have, while a lot of people are becoming awake these days, as they use in their term, that if you don't pick up the book, but you're only getting it as regurgitated, that's no different than the preacher on the plantation that you just amen to, but he couldn't read the words that were in the Bible.
Well, I agree with that. But I also am forced to deal with the reality that things change. Technology. I remember when I was working with, I did most of my work with iPhone, certainly in the, all throughout the decade of the 1980s and the first part of the 1990s. Over time, he developed a kind of a dementia or something like that, and he kind of retired from public life. But when I worked with him, I literally had, and I went to life with. I read books. I had a typewriter, and I was sitting all night doing research. My primary source wasn't Wikipedia, and I didn't, you know, quote sources on YouTube. So on the one hand, I look at some of the so-called scholars today in a very condescending manner, but I also realize that these people are, sisters and brothers, are having an impact. things that you have done and I've tried to do, and I hope people emulate. It's create. I hope that what we can do is to help create or stimulate a desire on the part of people to travel, to not be afraid, to go and see what's on the other part of the other part of the world, to see what's on the other side of the mountain, and to experience that for yourself. That is really, really, really liberating. I have one child, and she's still a teenager, and she's already been to Africa. Listen, in Europe, her mother has Senegalese roots. She's already been to Africa like 3 or 4 times. You know, she's been to Senegal several times. She's got family there. I took her to Easter with me. She's been in the United States a few times. I want her, for her graduation present from high school, I want to be able to give her a trip around the world, because it's nothing like seeing it. It broadens your horizons. It just takes you to a whole new level. So I appreciate you, sister. I envy you. I admire what you're doing. I respect you. I like you. And I really, really do hope that I have the opportunity to come to the part of the world where you're in and just see it and see it for myself. Because I know that'll broaden my experience and broaden my horizons. But that's a good thing.
Welcome back to the Caribbean Radio Show, the Knowledge Station. This is Queen Sunny, honey.
What the dilemma? It's a Sabbath thing. Suckling thing.
Equal rights and justice for all. Rise and never fall. Tell them, say, boom. What they gonna do?
What the dilemma? It's a Sabbath thing. Suckling thing. Yard up for him, kick up. Rock wine.
Sing!
Ting a ling a ling.
Sing!
Band silent swing.
Sing!
DJ Ace cock up in the beer boom rhythm.
Sing!
Ting a ling a ling.
Sing!
Gold bell a ring.
Sing!
Knife and fork a pipe for dumpling. For Sabbath ranking, Sabbath rocks disappear with you of another man chin. So, them are the done to the biz, we have the key, put the done to the key and turn him in a donkey. Yes, them are the done to the biz, we have the key, put the done to the key and turn him in a donkey. Who they think they are, yes, they can't allow me. I am the general in the DJ army. Who top all the I am cross all the T. And sit all the gal, them tickle fancy. And anywhere we go, y'all gone crazy. Listen, ding a ling a ling, school bell a ring, Funk a fight for dumpling. Quick, for some ranking disappear with you of another man chin. So, them are the done to the biz, we have the key. Put it down to the key and turn him in a donkey. Them are the done to the biz, we have the key. Put it down to the key and turn him in a donkey. You see, with your dance, I'll comprise of wine. We you see, now come to your phone, John, wine your body. You see, if you can wine, you hold your man and in Paris. You see, what be your style when you see your mate. You see, later try dress, but your mate not ready. You see, your man look like she a bug funny. You see, she a cartoon and she no rip. Girl, I get the love in you, I get the money. You see, come pop, cause you're full of quality. Tell a lot of girls, them got crazy. I will be great by the girls, them. Like Jamaican girls, them. And the American girls, them. And the English girls, them. What about Canadian girls, them? All the Japanese girls, them. The beer boom rhythm,
sing,
a ling a ling, cool bell in ring,
sing,
knife and fork, a pipe and dumpling, booyaka, for some of ranking, some of ranks, the personality of DJ Chinto. Them are the done to the biz, we have the key, put it down to the key and turn him in a donkey. Yes, them are the done to the biz, we have the key, put it down to the key and turn him in a donkey. You can't mix quantity with quality, a man of quality, yes, him of ability. With me strong mind and that I carry me, I get the will power from God Almighty. Many hand can but the chosen is me. What is for Caesar could never be for me. They can't arm me, now they can't arm me. I am the general in the DJ army. With that all the I am cross all the tea. Cash registering and they make no money. Sing-a-ling-a-ling, dance all in swing.
Sing.
DJ is stand up and if you boom with him.
Sing.
Sing-a-ling-a-ling, school bell ring.
Sing.
I find fuck, I find the dumpling. Booyaka, booyaka. car for some of ranking, some of drunk, step aside if you're up DJ Chinto. Them have been done to the business of the key, put it down to the key and turn them in a donkey. Yes, them have been done to the business of the key, put it down to the key and turn them in a donkey. You see, we get down, finally complains of wine. You see, now come to your phone and wine your body. Jump up, up, up and shake your body. Bottle for your mate, cause your mate not ready. Me look skinny like macaroni. From your mate skinny, just call her Teddy. If a girl ready, then a girl not ready. Don't want no girl with no balloon belly. Belly have a flat like a willy penny. Hear the little children sing with quality. Them say ting-a-ling-a-ling. That silent swing. DJ E.S. cock up in him, ear boom rhythm.
Welcome back to the Caribbean Radio Show. We are the Knowledge Station. This is your hostess with the mostest, Queen Sunny, honey. Yes, ting-a-ling-a-ling, that school bell rings. Thank you to Dr. Renuku. And stay tuned for a part two, everybody. Yes, he's actually agreed to give us a series all around the world. So if you've never traveled, prepare yourselves for Freedom Fridays. We're going to be able to go all around the world and hear some of those untold stories from Dr. Renuku Rashidi. So thank you, Dr. Renuku, for blessing us with part one today. And as we get ready to close out the show, honey, I need you to know that that device that you're holding, cell phone, is your money maker. CEOs everywhere are utilizing the same cell phone to operate their empire. AT&T, the CEO, Microsoft, each and every one of them boys are using their cell phone to actually be bosses. So what are you waiting for? Look me up on Instagram at Queen Sunny Honey. Make sure you like and follow. Find my website on Google, baby, www.sunetashannon.com. Make sure you subscribe to my mailing list so you can get some of the sneak peeks on what's ahead. And make sure you go over to the Caribbean Radio Show on Facebook. That's CRS Radio on Facebook and like and follow the page. I would love to give your feedback. Always listening to what you have to say and your stories around the world and sending limitless love and blessings out there to you. Yes. Story time. Someone wrote, Queen Sunny Honey, how did you get overseas? Well, story time. I was working at Fayetteville State University in North Carolina. One day, a young woman appeared, and she was working overseas and teaching and a single mother. And I was so inspired that, yes, honey, it manifested into a position that I was offered a job overseas. Didn't know it was the highest currency on the planet. Didn't know that I would be treated like a queen over here, baby. The blessing, the manifesting, something I wanted since I was a little girl. Shout out to Miss Tracy out there. Yes, thank you for being a woman of empowerment who uplifted me. And then there is a Facebook friend by the name of Oshun. While I was bereaving the loss of both my parents, it was her Facebook stories of traveling for pleasure and for work all around the world. I mean, honey, the pictures this woman took, she gave me life. In a time that I was kind of down, and that was the fuel, actually, that drove me to get the passport. So thank you so much to Miss Oshun out there with them twin beautiful babies, first and geniuses all over the planet. And then there is a woman who knew me from behind the belly button of my mom. She lived across the street. Much love to Melanda. She afforded me the opportunity to leave a toxic relationship and job and community and just come into North Carolina where that blessing grew and manifested. And that's my story on how I came over to the Middle East. If you or someone you love would like to also take a job, some of the perks I have out here, whatever my mother would say, ain't no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. Yes. You know, having a housing package, not paying lights or utilities or a water bill, having this TV box that gives me HBO, 1, 2, 3 Showtime, all the things that you typically pay for back home, to cut out that fee. I mean, don't even need to have Hulu eating away my money every month, nor Netflix or the Amazon Prime when you have that convenience. And of course, you know, girl love to eat and can get everything delivered. And basically, one U.S. dollar in my region is worth 38 cents. Ain't worth shh. But one of their monies, just wahed, just one, uno, one single dinar, is worth almost $3.40. So the money more than triples. If you would like the opportunity, apply, apply, apply. This world is shifting. There's so many doors that will open in your favor. Manifest the life that you want to live, honey. Reach out to me at SunitaShannon.com. If you have any questions, of course, we always have people here on the show who provide the avenues, the blueprints, the templates for success, and we'd be delighted to help you out. Yes. Well, let's look at who's coming up next time, next week. Yes, who is on the calendar? We got a sister coming in Ghana, Accra, Miss Lisa Marie Goodson of the Blackberry Beauty Academy. Woman is phenomenal. Went on a trip to Ghana in March and decided, I'm not going back. So she rented a place for a full year, and she will be here to tell the story. Imagine that. You leave for a trip, everything in your home you value, but something on the other end is so good that it makes your child sell that, donate it, throw it away. So stay tuned to hear her heroine's journey next week. We will also have Queen Tashiva King Queen, our queen coming in from California, a world-renowned woman who is just a gem in herself. An elder who will come, a queen mother who will speak and gift us the wisdom. When you see this woman whiny, whiny, age ain't nothing but a number. She is the owner of a beautiful, famous crystal shop, and all the Black celebrities who love their gemstones and their tourmaline and their quartz and their amethyst, they go to this woman. So you don't want to miss the opportunity to listen in. We will also have a life coach, yes, someone to come on and heal us, Miss Wynonna, my HBCU class and university alumni. We thank her for giving us some mental health tools to help us heal through this process. In Charleston, Chucktown, South Carolina, the Gullah Geechee man, boss man himself, my own HBCU alumni as well, Mr. Kett, has always had an herb store on the lines of some Whole Foods type stuff mentality, vegan chef, nutritionist. And finally, the world has been waiting and just running to hear, oh, wait, you got the chickweed? What's the chickweed used for? And how can I lower my cholesterol? So we want to just give a loving shout out and welcome him to the show coming up in the first week of June as he blesses us with some healing herbs that we have at home. Let food be your medicine and medicine be your food. We have Mr. Thomas Lawton. He is the author of Gentrification, a brother coming in to every community throughout the United States, teaching Black people about gentrification and giving solutions on how to buy the block. It's amazing to see his journey, and I look forward to actually learning some things myself because it's time for us to look at more measures aside from marching and how can we own the block, the building. Had this epiphany earlier. What would our world be like if, after 1865, when slavery was abolished in each and every state in these United States, you could actually move to a community or an apartment building that was owned by a person who looked like you, a Black person. What if you moved from New Jersey to Mississippi and then you just knew, oh, child, please, who owns that apartment complex? Brother, here that you can rent from until you purchase your home. This is the world that we shall live. The poor shall eat the rich. The time for us is now. To all you brothers and sisters out there, know that together we can. To all of you sisters out there who are aware that nobody is coming to save us, we lift each other up, sister girl. Hey, girl, hey. Yes, women's empowerment every Freedom Friday, right here with your girl, Queen Sunny Honey. Before I let you go, one thing you ought to know. As we prepare ourselves for the upcoming week, we will go in peace. And may the peace of God's protection be with you. Okay, over here, Masalama boo boo, do bye bye boo.